Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah, that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Toy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonCoop.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Wow.
Thank you, Buzz Piven.
And we got Mike back tonight. Yes, he was gone. he was gone last week. He had to work, but he's back with us tonight. Yeah. So
I'm
good.
Excellent. So I'll be here this Thursday, next Thursday, and the following Thursdays. So I'm keeping my Thursdays free, even though they could probably use me tonight at the other place, but that's fine. I'm here, so we're good. Welcome to All About Wine. If you'd like to call us, get on the phones right now. We'll put you in a screening room where we check out and see what you want to talk about before we put you on there. And the number to call, again, is 646-727-3235. You can call anytime during the show live and give us a call, and we'll talk about wine on. You have a special guest tonight, and I'll be – what time is it? Yeah, I can get out there and get them on the program, and we'll be right back with them. So Ron's here, and he can take you all into the show. Yeah,
and if you're all interested, right, Mike tweets throughout the show, too, so we can keep you up on the tweets there. If you
Twitter,
guys
Twitter.
Anyone up.
Yeah, twitter.com/allaboutwineBTR. twitter.com/allaboutwineBTR. That's the easiest way to get there. At allaboutwineBTR. Okay, I'll be right back.
All right. Tonight we have a guest coming from Florida, actually reasonably close to where we are here, where the home is here. We have Bunker Hill Vineyard and Winery. Bunker Hill Vineyard and Winery is located in actually Bunker Hill, Florida, which is sort of almost due east of St. Petersburg and north, a little bit of Bradenton, that area there in Florida. They have a winery there they've had for a couple of years, very green winery. We're going to talk to them about their winery and about the the Green Winery. And also, and as you heard on the opening there, we sometimes get off the subject, and we are going to tonight because this is October, and October is Halloween month, and because it is Halloween month, we are talking to haunted wineries, and we're going to have Joyce Joy of Wine on next week telling us about haunted wineries and stuff, and there's haunted wineries around the country. We talked to the one up in Missouri a few months ago. You can check out that interview. They talked about haunted wineries there also, and they had and what they were doing, and so and actually they were on Ghostbusters on the Sci-Fi Channel. They had an episode on there. So we are going to be talking to Lenore and Larry from Bunker Hill tonight about their paranormal activities, if you will, their haunted winery, and we'll also find out about their winery itself, and they are very green on everything they do and all that stuff. So Lenore is sitting there waiting in the green room. We'll bring her on. Welcome, Lenore. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Ron. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Glad to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us tonight. I was October is our haunted month, and so I'm glad you can join us and tell us. But before we start getting into your paranormal activities there, Bunker Hill Winery, we need to talk about Bunker Hill for a while here before we go into the ghost stories. Bunker Hill Winery, you are a Florida farm winery, but you also are very green. Tell us why you went so green and what you're doing to stay and keep green and all that.
Well, green is, it's our lifestyle. It's the way we live. It's a way of life with us. We are, like you said, we are a certified farm winery, and we planted our grapes about 18 years ago. We opened to the public about 4 years. We're in our fourth year open to the public. But we are green. We are at a master level green, the highest level in Manatee County. And we were just awarded the 2013 Green Business of the Year, the inaugural award for Manatee County also. And we just got the recycling award for Manatee County.
Well, congratulations on both.
Thank you very much. We are 100% recycled on our wine bottles. We've had over 18,000 bottles come back to us this year alone. But we grow all of our own grapes. We grow a variety. We grow the muscadine grape. We grow seven varieties. And in addition to our grapes, which are 100% grown here, we don't use any juices or concentrates. They're all whole fresh fruits. But we have a line of whole fresh fruit wines, too, made only with the whole fresh fruits, like bananas, which we grow here. We grow a lot of our fruits here on a property. And if we don't grow it, we source them locally on our fruits. Our wines are aged a minimum of 365 days before we even consider bottling. And
wow.
Every bottle that has left the premises is in a recycled wine bottle. Our grapes, they're unfiltered wines. All of our wines are totally unfiltered. But we're green. Everything we can do, we do green. We compost. We have composting worms on property. We don't fertilize, and we don't use pesticides. We actually mulch our vineyard. So it's just a way of life with us since, back from the 60s, I suppose. But we are...
You're dating yourself.
And definitely, I know, that's crazy. But it is. We've been green. We were green when the color was green. But actually, we're showing people how you can do a sustainable business and make it profitable. But if you have any questions, I'd love to answer any questions. But that about sums us up.
Again, congratulations on your awards on there. Manatee County, just for people, for reference, Manatee County is south of Pinellas and Hillsborough County, Tampa Bay area.
Right.
The Tampa Bay jumps in, and you got Hillsborough and Pinellas County, which is the homes of both Tampa in Hillsborough and St. Petersburg in Pinellas. Right below that is Manatee County. So that's That's where they're located. So we're in a big wine area here and all that. So I just wanted to let people know where you were exactly.
We're northeast Manatee County. We are north of Sarasota and south of Tampa.
There you go. Okay. And east of all those. So easy get to. If anyone's down here in the Florida area, they're just east of I-75. So it's an easy off-the-road trip. Your green certification, now, that is not organic. That is green. That's completely different.
That is green. We cannot be organic because of the fact that we have to use pressure-treated lumber. We have to use pressure-treated post in the vineyard. In Florida, as you know, we have termites and we have wood rot. And if we did not use pressure-treated post in the vineyard, it would be cost-prohibitive. We would have to change out our post about every 2 or 3 years. So we are everything solid green. And the only whole drawback on the organic is because we use pressure-treated lumber.
Is that real? Wow, I never knew that.
Yep, you cannot use that.
That's silly.
Well, that's the law of the land.
Yeah, well, I never knew pressure-treated lumber would stop you from being actually classified as organic.
Right, yeah. Organic, that's right, definitely.
Wow, I maybe can understand why they do that, but I would think that they would allow for places like Florida and, you know, areas where it would be almost a necessity to have pressure-treated lumber, or else the cost would be outrageous changing up the lumber all the time.
Yeah, you can't do that. So that's what the only drawback that holds us back from being organic is the pressure-treated. But that's okay. Yeah. Our wines are wonderful. Like I say, they're unfiltered. We are green, and we're certified green. We are so recycled until it isn't funny. We have, when we use only natural corks. And then once our corks once our bottles are corked, then we seal them with hot sealing wax. We actually dip every bottle, hand dip in the hot wax. And on the wax, we imprint the vintage year, whether it's medium or dry, and actual glass carboy that the wines are aged in. But all of that is recycled. Our customers bring back our bottles. They bring back our corks, which we send to a Missouri company who makes floor tiles out of recycled cork, wine bottle corks. They bring back our wax, which we cut up and we use over and over and over again. They bring back, they bring in soft drink cartons. We actually flip soft drink cartons, and we make wine carriers out of them. Because, you know, soft drink cartons have a finish on them, an enamel finish, and they all end up in the landfill. Well,
right.
We convert them into wine carriers.
Oh, very good.
So, yes, and the thing is that you...
Go on.
Oh, it's just if you give the public an opportunity to recycle and to do their part in helping save this planet that we live on, you know, they love it. They do it.
Yes, and that's very true, too. I have to admit, I have not been down to visit you. I've been to most of the wineries in Florida, but I made that trip about 5-6 years ago, and you weren't open at the time, so I didn't get an opportunity to stop by and visit you. I'm really up the road from you. Florida State's winery is only about maybe an hour from you. Hour and a half, maybe, something. So I am going to make a trip down and do your haunted walk one of these weekends. So.
Well, we would love to have you here for that, for the orb walk.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Before we go into that, though, I've had your wines. People that live down in that area, Cliff and Deb, stop by and visit you all the time, and they come up and visit us, and they brought me a couple of your wines so I can try them. And very interesting, I have to say. And I did save the wax in a little bag, and I saved the cork and the bottles, and they picked them back up and took them back down to you. So,
wonderful. Excellent.
Kept the recycling going on that. I'm sure you don't get all the bottles you need back. What do you do for bottles if you don't get them all?
We take 100% bottles. We have never bought a new wine bottle at all in the 4 years we've been open. No, sir. We have never bought the first wine bottle. We take 100% bottles. We only fill the 750 milliliters, and the rest of the bottles, the 1.5 liters and various sizes, go into various art projects that we do. We built a wedding arch. We build walls. We recycle those bottles, like I say, back in the art project. They do not end up in the landfill. But we have never bought a wine bottle
since
the day we opened.
That is fascinating. That really is. While we're on this, let's tell people your website, BunkerHillVineyard.com, BunkerHillVineyard.com, BunkerHillVineyard.com. And you can actually go on and see a lot of stuff. And she mentioned the arch. There is a link on there. You can click on that and see where they put the arch together with wine bottles, and tell us a little bit about it and all that. So if anyone out there wants to follow along with us and see some of the stuff that we're talking about, it is right there on their website. So that's an interesting little wedding arch too. I like that, right there with the grapevines coming all around behind it and all that too. So
definitely. We have quite a number of weddings, and what we do is our bride and groom, they actually pick their wine bottle, and we engrave the bride and groom's name and the date they got married on their particular wine bottle, which is here forever. And then they come back at their anniversary dates and stuff like that. They'll come back and they show it off and take pictures of it. So we do engrave their name and the day they got married. So they have their own bottles.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, that sounds great. The wines, let's talk a little bit about the wines you have. You say you use the muscadine grape, and how many different varieties? You say seven?
We grow seven varieties of the muscadine grape, and we make reds, whites, rosés. We make dries and mediums. We don't make a real sweet wine here. We make medium, dry, and dry on the muscadine, and then we make a white sparkling and a red sparkling. And this year we have on our strawberry wines, we have a strawberry sparkling coming out.
You don't make a sweet muscadine. That's almost a contradiction of terms, isn't it?
No, it's not a contradiction of terms. We don't make a sweet muscadine wine. We make a dry muscadine wine, and we make a medium dry, which is medium. It's very good. It's not really sweet, and it's not dry, so it's right in between there.
Yeah, because most people picture muscadine as a very, very sweet grape, and that's interesting that you don't go that direction on that.
Well, that's because we don't stop fermentation early either. We let the wines ferment all the way down to the yeast eat all the sugar. But no, we don't make real sweet wine.
Well,
we make fantastic wines, and there we make about 11, let's see, we make 11 different grape wines, and we make probably another 17 different fruit wines.
Whoa.
About 28 total different wines.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. All aged in glass carboy?
All aged in glass carboy in our wine cave.
Wow.
You do need to come down and pay us a visit.
I definitely do, yeah, without question. I'm definitely going to have to make a trip down there. So obviously none of your runs are real big. I mean, it seems like you would have small batches on everything most of the time, wouldn't you?
It's all handcrafted.
Yeah.
We have no automated equipment here at all.
So all the carboys and everything like that, I mean, that's almost a full-time job just monitoring and keeping those things, keeping on top of those.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, I'll give you and Larry a lot of credit for that, I'll tell you.
Thank you very much.
Something I was going to ask about, too. You say everything's by hand, so you have a small bottling machine, or how are you doing your bottling?
It's by hand. We have a semi-automatic bottler. Every bottle is bottled one bottle at a time, corked one bottle at a time. It's all handcrafted.
Well, that's great. I'm going to have to make a trip down there. That sounds fascinating. I do most everything. Actually, I do everything by hand. I really shouldn't say most. Mm-hmm. We are very small. We do all that by hand ourselves, but we don't have 28 different wines. So.
Right. Well, we do, and it's quite, you know, it's quite a job.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be. If someone stops by, do you taste everything all the time?
Well, we have quite a number of them tasted. You know, we do tours and tastings every day. We're open 7 days a week from 11 until 6. And, by the way, our tastings, tours and tastings, are all complimentary. And we taste quite a number of wines, as many as really they want to taste them, more than welcome to taste them.
Wow, that's great. I'm going to have to make a trip now.
Well, we would love to see you down here, yes.
Yeah, I just, you know, and like I say, an hour and a half, I'm there. I mean, it's not like it's a long ways away, you know.
It makes a wonderful day trip.
Yeah, that's it. We talk to wineries around the country all the time, and I'd love to go to those, but you are a very real possibility in a day trip for me here, so that's fantastic. I was looking here. Real corks. Are you, well, same thing with corks? What did you start out with on corks? Getting corks from a distributor or something?
We have a supplier for our corks. We only use natural corks. We don't use the plastic corks at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't like plastic corks because they don't work well.
No, they really don't. They're only natural corks.
And why did you decide to unfilter?
Well, because filtering takes out your taste, flavor, and bouquet, and over 60 years ago, all wines were unfiltered. So they just have a better flavor to them, and you don't have to add any hints and notes back into them. So it's just a natural grape flavor in the wines.
Very good. Very good. Our Halloween month, and it's also our month that we're talking to haunted wineries. We talked to Haunted Winery up in Missouri, Belvoir Winery, and they had some great stories about it. And I got a hold of you for another reason besides just the fact that Bunker Hill Winery is right down the street and it's a great little winery, but also because you have paranormal activity.
Yes, we do.
Okay, now we need to talk about your ghost story. We need to talk about your paranormal activities. Tell us about your ghost. Tell us, things that happened. Tell us, I'm just going to let you go on and tell us about your ghost stories and all that down there.
Okay, well, actually on our website, a year or so ago, we actually put our ghost story on there. We were kind of reluctant at first to put the ghost story on there. But things happen here. We have paranormal activity. It started probably about 3 years ago, really noticeable. I was in the one of the fermenting rooms, and it was kind of late at night. Larry had been in there, and I was over checking the carboy out, and something tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around to find out what he wanted, and obviously he was not in there, and I was by myself. But so that's happened. I've had my cheek patted. I was leaning up a tree one day, and kind of a troubling day, and a soft hand came out and patted me on the cheek like it's okay. We have my name, Lenora, is called out quite often. That's happened several times. We have things that move. We had a couple of cats. Our family lives over on St. Pete Beach, and obviously if you have a pet that passes, you really have no place to bury them. So they would cremate the animals, bring them out. So we had a couple little graves on there with little gravestones. And I was out one night and cleaning buckets and looked over, and one of the gravestones had been moved over about 10 feet, 10, 12 feet, and I figured animal did it. So I pushed this little stone back over. It's about a foot square, and went back inside and came back out a little while later with another bucket, and it was moved again. About 12 feet this time. So I got Larry and brought him out there, and, because there's no evidence of it being moved. It was just moved. So we put the motion detector camera up to watch, to take pictures. And sure enough, it moved again, and it took pictures, but they were solid white pictures. There was no picture, and they're solid white, and the battery, the new batteries were gone, just dead.
Huh.
We have K2 meters go off whenever we do our orb walks. they will, you can talk to the people and the spirit. The K2 meters will bounce all around back and forth. We can put flashlights out and talk, and they will go on and off by themselves. We have a lot of interesting things. Solar lights will disappear and end up out in the vineyard. All types of little paranormal stuff. We've had a couple of paranormal investigations done, professional ones, and they have said that we are one of the most active places that they have ever been to. We have psychics that will come out here, or sensitive people will come out, and they will say that they have feelings of tragedies that has happened back during Indian times. We've had Native Americans over here. We've had one of the Seminole Indian battles was fought not too long from here. Civil War was through here. So there's been a lot of energy over many, many years. But no, we do. We have a lady who actually sees spirits. So she has told us that we have a little boy that lives in the woods who is almost like she called him a ragamuffin. Almost to the point of a Huckleberry Finn type boy that lives in the woods. She said there's a lady over by the wedding arch in a long white dress, and she was here not too long ago and said we have two more visitors out there now, a little girl playing by the pond and a dark-haired lady that walked past her. But we have sensitive people come out, and they say we've got several vortexes where they accumulate. But just any number of activities goes on quite often all the time. We've had them see them in the building. We've had a guy see a man in a white shirt in the building. And my granddaughter, a couple months ago, was out washing buckets in the back, and we had people up in the building, and all of a sudden she opened the door. She said, "Yes, ma'am, what do you want?" I said, "What do you mean, what do I want?" She said, "Well, you call me." I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Well, I was down at the woods." She said, "Someone called Caitlin." She said, "It sounded just like you, so I came to see what you wanted." I said, "No, darling, I didn't call your name." And we have a worker here who's they've called her name. It's quite interesting. The doors will lock behind us, so we have to carry keys in our pockets at all times.
Is there any? And I've talked to other people about ghosts and all that, and there's usually a reason why you have the paranormal activities. I mean, it's over the building, the area is built over a grave, or like the one we talked about in Missouri, there was deaths. It was a home, and there was deaths there, a hospital, and different things, and the spirits hang around.
We had one of the last of the Seminole Indian battles was fought just right here on the hill, and then we've had some Civil War activity through here. So over the number of years, yes, definitely there's been a lot of deaths here. And, you know, back then they just didn't call an undertaker to haul them away. They just buried them right on the property. So I'm sure a lot of that generates back from, you know, whenever the people were here and whenever they did die. And out in this area of Florida here, it's very, very hard to come across. We've searched records to try to pinpoint, to be real specific about who or what names or whatever, but it's lost in the records. It doesn't, you know, go back this far. Now, we did have a lady that was here, and when she came in, very nice lady, she went to the back permitting room, and as soon as we walked in, she stopped, and she asked us if we had anything going on, and we don't normally. This is before we really put our story up, and you know, you really don't just start out telling people. We let them tell us if they feel something or if they see something. So that way, you know, they're coming back. As she asked us if we had any activity, so we asked her, "Well, you know, what are you talking about?" She says, "Well," she said, "there is a man in here." She said, "He's an older gentleman, about 80 years old, and his name is Gerald, and he's standing right in here with us." And that was very interesting because at that time, you know, all the hair on her arms and everything was standing straight up and the goosebumps on her and everything. But she did tell us that it was in there. Then we had someone say, no, you have someone here by the name of General, not Gerald, General. So it's just interesting. We were one of the orb walks that we had a couple weeks ago. One of the ladies had an EVP recorder, a voice recorder, and when she played it back, some of the questions that we had asked, you know, like, what's your name, you could hear a whisper coming through saying Jerry, and asked if they knew what year it was, and you heard a whisper coming back through saying yes. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, to say the least. Well, you know, yep. Well, you say Civil War and Indian, but... You mentioned children that people have seen.
Like their children. Well, yes, and that's where it's so hard to pinpoint, because you probably had settlers here. You probably had children, settlers. We have a small stream that runs on the back end of the property in the woods, and one of it's kind of a psychic lady, had asked us if we had water on the property. So we told her, yes, there was some water down at the back end, and she said that she sees people going down there and performing like baptism, because there was an old church across the way in the middle of an orange grove. And she could see people coming down and to the water, where it was very happy, very pleasant, and doing like baptism. And nothing is bad here. Everything is very pleasant with them. They're all happy. We do not provoke the spirits. Any investigations that are done, you know, you see some time on ghost hunters or ghost shows where they provoke the spirits. We don't allow that on the property. We don't allow that at all. So all of the experiences have been they're not bad at all. They're just there. It's just something that happens.
Well, besides locking you out of your buildings and stuff like that, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, that's just a little bit mischievous. I mean, that's like Larry being out one day working in the garage, and he's using his drill and finishing up and closing it on the table and shutting the garage and going out there next morning. Everything's fine. The drill is gone. Going out there 10 minutes later, and the drill is laying there. So it's just a little mischievous stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You mentioned... Uh-huh. The ghost walk. Tell people about your ghost walk. What does that involve? What do you do? How often?
During October, we do it every Saturday night, and we've had about 25, 30 people each weekend. But we do it all year. If we get a group of people if someone wants to put together like 10 people or more, we will do it any time. And they show up here at night, and we have them wear good walking shoes and bring a light jacket or something. And after dark, we actually take them around to the places that we know is activity has been and that other people have experienced activity. And it's a must that they bring their cameras, because you take the pictures, and the orbs are incredible. And we've gotten several pictures of big mist with, when you look at it, you can see actual faces and shapes of people. But the orbs also, whenever you zoom in on them, you can see faces. Like I say, there's orbs, red, white, blue, different colored. They're everywhere. They're all over the property. So it lasts about an hour and a half, and the people have a wonderful time. They experience some of them have been actually touched on the shoulder. They've had their hair touched when nobody be around, and people touch them. Their names have been called. Last time, we had a young lady here who was standing right next to the woods, and her name was actually called. She said someone just called my name over here. So it's there, right?
Yeah. Do you have a theory, or anyone have a theory of why so much right in that area there, instead of, you know? I mean, obviously you have a nice, you know, open area, but you know, usually when there's things like that, I mean, you seem to have a concentration of a lot, and it would
probably just a comfort level. It's a comfort zone, comfort level. Who knows? I don't know. It's just that everybody who has ever been here that is, you know, sensitive like that has said that it is good. They have chosen you because of the comfort and the peace and serenity out here. It could be a magnet that's drawing them here. People say, well, go into a graveyard. Well, no, there's not really a whole lot in the graveyards because that's not where the people were happy. They were happy, you know, somewhere else. So if they're going to, the spirit's going to go back, they're going to go back where they were happy.
Right, right.
So,
yeah, and that's, I would.
Yeah, that's really. It. I definitely would. But it is, the, like I say, it could be the peace and serenity that draws them here.
Huh, that's fascinating. Do you have you noticed extra at certain times of the year, or is it pretty much the same activity all year long?
It's all year long. There's no better or less. You know, it's not like they leave and go on vacation or something. No, they're just here all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't quiet down. And...
Nope. Nope. It's just, and you know, you can't. They don't perform on demand. They just do their thing. But it's like, say, it's not any less in the wintertime or summertime or whatever. It's all the time.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
But it is definitely very interesting.
Yeah. Are you have any, have had any incidents in the house or anything, or most of it just been out in the wine areas and stuff like that? I mean, have you
right.
ever been?
Well, most of it has been not really in the house. I haven't. It was been in the buildings. It's been in the garage. It's been in the fermenting room. It's been in the tasting room and the wine cave, the doors being locked and all. But as far as in the house, no. Not really inside the residence.
Oh, that's
but
odd.
But now the one in the garage or in the fermenting building out there, whenever we started a little bit of construction on it, maybe 4 years ago, that's whenever the started a little bit out in that area. So that might have started some of it. But nope, it happens all the time.
So you said these orb, these ghost and spirit orb walks that you do, if a group wants to get together and call you, you would do it any night?
Yes, any night. If it's 10 or more people, we would definitely do that for them. And
right.
We do them all year. But on a regular basis, the month of October is when it's just a structured schedule whenever Saturday night.
Because it's Halloween.
So we've already booked up. We've already got 25 booked for this weekend, and then we've already filled up next weekend, too.
Wow. Yeah, and it's good time to do it. My daughter really wants to do that, but she's going to be leaving Tuesday and moving out of state, so she wouldn't have an opportunity to get it done before then. So when she comes back, I guess we're going to have to get her back down here and go out and do the orb walk.
Do the ghost and orb walk. Definitely.
Ghost and orb walk.
It's for real. It's not hype. You know, people don't jump out of the bushes and scare you, that kind of stuff. It's not, you know how a lot of haunted places are set up. So, no, this one is for real all the way down. It's actual... spirits, actual experiences, and everybody thoroughly enjoys it, and they learn an awful lot, and they go away here with whole different feelings.
I believe they would. Yes, I can see that.
You have to be skeptical. I mean, you have to be a skeptic, otherwise, people could really take advantage of you, and then they come out, non-believers, and they leave believing.
That's amazing. That is Mike, do you have any questions for Lenore?
How long does the walk last?
I usually last an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Hour and a half, okay.
Yeah, we normally start it as soon as it turns dark, and right now it gets dark about 8 o'clock, so about 9:30, quarter till 10, it wraps up.
Okay. Yeah, I've been on a couple of investigations myself, and it's when you're holding a recorder and you ask a question and nobody says anything, but you get home and you check it out and there's a whisper or something on it, you kind of think, where did that come from? The first time I heard that, I think I flew out of my chair. I was like, there's no way that happened. But
the first time you hear it, or the first time your name is called, or the first time you're tapped on the shoulder. Or I was in the garage one day and I hear this, where are you? And I thought it was Larry. And I said, I'm in here. And then all of a sudden I look out and there's nobody there. And I just told him where I was.
Mm-hmm. I've had cobweb feeling on my arm, and there's no cobwebs around. If you haven't done this. Go into it as a skeptic. That's what I do. I when I've done it, I go in there and I was like, there's no way. But then when things start happening that you can't explain, and it's just you and maybe two or three other people, it's totally different. You start thinking, okay, my mind's playing tricks on me, but I just felt something on my arm, or I heard a noise, or you can't explain it. Then, you know, it's interesting. And the K2 meter, for those of you who don't know, the K2, it's a very popular meter used for investigations. EMF is electromagnetic fields, and it's a very popular meter used. It's the one with the LED lights, I believe, it's basically green, and it goes up in progression to yellow,
red.
Orange, red. Yeah, to red, and once you get to red, it's time to leave. But
actually, whenever you're standing there, and you do get the movement, you get the activity,
yes.
You can actually say, can you take it back over to the red? You know, if it's a yes, can
mm-hmm.
you go to the red? And then it shoots over to the red,
yeah.
And it lights up. Yeah, just like you said, it monitors activity.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. So if you don't know what EMF stands for, that's what that is. It's basically electromagnetic fields, and they have different meters out there, but the K2 is very popular. EVP recorders, you can use any. I have a little digital recorder that I carry with me. It's very small, but it picks up all kinds of stuff. And I've seen people use their voice recorder on their phone sometimes. I mean, it really doesn't matter. It's just, you know. But you do have, I think this was the Orb Walk is $10. Is that still
right,
is that the deal?
$10 per person. Yeah, $10 per person.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah, that's
and
fantastic.
So
we
require
really
them to wear closed-in shoes. It's not, you know, this world is supposedly a democracy. Yes. Whenever you're out here on this property, the democracy goes away. We are a dictatorship. You don't know the land. You cannot wander off. You will fall in a pond. You may step in an armadillo hole. So you have to pretty much abide by the rules because it's dark and there's a lot of and there's a lot of woods. So you have to be careful. You need to bring jackets. You know, you have mosquitoes, but don't show up in flip-flops, for heaven's sake.
Right. It'll be a hike, I guess, and you're going to be outside in different terrain or something. I don't know. But,
exactly. We're not actually in Florida. We are actually, our elevation is 104 feet elevation here. So we can go up and down. We have woodlands. We have the vineyard. We have wetlands. We have all different types of terrain here. And unfortunately, you know, the spirits just don't stay up on the high and dry ground. They kind of wander wherever they want to. And believe me, I let them wander wherever they want to.
Do you have had activity then on all the areas? It's not just limited to around?
No, we actually had them walk down to through the woodland areas and feel and have their names called and actually hear laughter. I've heard laughter. I've heard mumblings. I have heard voices. So we have it all over. It doesn't. You know, it's not particular to just a certain area.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
It's very interesting.
That's great. Definitely
very much
have to
put
that on my agenda. You know, I definitely
have
to put that on my agenda.
I think somewhere between now and the end of October, I see a road coming to
a road trip.
<road trip. laughs> and believe me, these orb walks, spirit and orb walks, mm-hmm. are done before mm-hmm. wine tasting, so it's for real.
Okay.
Good
people
point.
Say, "Well, how many glasses of wine did you have?" No.
And then after it, you probably need some wine.
They say, "Well, do you mind if I taste one now?"
That would be a good time. Yep.
That's fascinating.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, I noticed on your wine list, we're going to separate from that, I guess, for a second, but you have a cherry tomato wine. Is that still being produced, and what does that taste like?
The cherry tomato wine is the most fantastic wine. We actually grow the cherry tomatoes here. It's a marvelous alternative white wine with just a hint of cherry tomato coming back at you.
Huh.
Boy, is it good.
I saw that. I saw that. I thought it was I don't think I've heard of that. We've heard of some interesting I don't know, like out west, a jalapeno one, and I couldn't figure that one out. But some of the other ones, and I don't remember ever hearing a cherry tomato one. I was wondering how that.
No.
So it's a white wine
it's
with
wonderful.
A cherry tomato.
Right. We also have a sweet potato wine made with whole fresh sweet potatoes. And we just released our mystery wines, which is made with black tea and green tea. So we now have a black tea wine and we have a green tea wine.
Interesting.
So we're always making different wines. And they're wonderful. But your church made it excellent.
Wow. Wow.
I'm ready to eat soon. Okay. I'm ready to eat soon. I'm going to do a tasting on a couple of those. That sounds very interesting. I never heard of it. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
I noticed also on your list here, you have a lot of them that are sold out off and on here. Is that where you go on
right,
cycles?
Right, because they're seasonal.
Uh-huh.
The fruit wines are seasonal. Now, our spring wines, which are strawberry, blackberry, blueberry, lemon, those were already sold out. They're aging for next year, but they've already sold out. Now we just rolled out some fall wines, which are apple and spiced apple, and, of course, our tea wines and cherry tomato. And then next month we'll be rolling out our orange. And it's like I said, it's all seasonal.
The pineapple, you grow your own pineapples?
I'm sorry, do what?
Do you grow your own pineapples?
No, actually there's four of them that there is no commercial industry in the United States to source them. So we have to at least pick a country that has the highest standards, agricultural standards, to like closest to ours. We actually get our pineapples out of Costa Rica, but they're made with whole pineapples, and it's just the pineapple makes pineapple wine. If you don't like the fruit, you won't like the fruit wine because they taste just
the fruit. Yeah, I love pineapple. I love to try that pineapple wine, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to die for. But they're very good wines.
Same thing with banana? You get that? Source that?
No. We grow the bananas. Those are Florida bananas. They're ripened right here on our banana trees, and they're fermented with banana skins also.
Oh.
So the banana is wonderful. The key lime comes out of Homestead, Florida, and it's just pure key lime wine. So, no, we make a huge variety of wines here.
Yeah, well, that's just some interesting ones there. Mike, you were going to say something?
I was kind of getting off of that again. But you have – I mean, we can talk some more about the wines, obviously, but I just look on your website. You have a wish list about being environmental custodians. Did you want to talk about some of what you're interested in, what you're trying to get from that and do with that for the environment? You mentioned a couple of items on the website.
Right, yes, because actually on all of our shirts that we wear here, it says Bunker Hill Vineyard, environmental custodians. That's what we consider ourselves because we do take care of the land. We have wetlands. We have precious wetlands behind us that we're looking to do environmental walkways so that the people can actually see what endangered plants look like, you know, in the wetlands of Florida. We've got, like I say, the walkways, we have wetlands, we have uplands. We take care of it all. We don't abuse our lands anyway. We don't destroy. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to work a conservation area back in the wetlands back there that will be a perpetual conservation area so that no matter who comes in, down or where the winery goes, it will never be developed or destroyed. And as you know, there's 7 billion people on this planet, and the land gets destroyed all the time through developers, and we just are not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Okay.
You also
have a accommodations there. I see a water garden farm, and that's located at the winery as well?
Yes, it is. We actually have a two-bedroom, two-bath. Turnkey furnished house right here on the vineyard, and it is available to rent nightly, weekly, or seasonally. It's right on Water Garden. There's Water Garden lily ponds all around it. It has woodlands, a very private wraparound deck. It's absolutely beautiful. If you click on accommodations on our website, you see all the photos inside. And what we have done with our wish list and our environmental stuff. We have just formed a partnership this past year with Bock Tower and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. There is a plant, an endangered species, called the Chrysopsis floridana, which is the Florida golden aster. And this particular plant is indigenous just to the Tampa Bay area and all the world. Only place this plant is found is here in this area,
wow.
And it's almost extinct. It's been on the USDA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife list since the 80s. But it originally grows on sand dunes. And you know the coastline of Florida, all the development has just about wiped out this plant. So what we
right.
have done is Fish and Wildlife, Bock Tower has been entrusted with bringing this plant back. So what they have is they have stands in conservation areas and government land, but nothing's been open to the public. So for the first time ever in the history of this, we have done a partnership with Bock Tower and Fish and Wildlife to where we have done two sites on our property. We've created sand dunes, and they have planted 125 of these plants on our property here with signage that we can actually bring the public through and educate the public on this plant that is actually endangered. That if you don't
Fantastic.
Take care of it, it's going to disappear altogether. So it's the first time ever. And if this works, but the awareness, the public needs to, we're taking this awareness to the public. So if this works, then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife will consider putting in other places on private property so that the public can have access to it. Now, this is a 10-year partnership. Bock Tower will, their rare plant specialists who grew these plants will come over and they monitor them. Every plant has a number, so it will be monitored here for the next 10 years. That's really a super special thing that's going on here for this plant.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
That really is. That's wonderful. And I'm an environmentalist myself, and it's always great to hear stuff like that. And it's great you guys are getting in, you know, jumping into the middle of that and doing that. It's
Definitely. Well, if you go online and if you Google in the Florida golden aster, you will see what the plant looks like and get the history behind it. But when we planted it, on June the 20th, they actually planted, like, 125 plants here in two different beds that we created. And we had Channel 8 News out here, and they ran the news release for three different days, which was very interesting. So every night they ran it, you know, for three different days, like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Wow.
So they got the word out good.
That's great. That's fantastic. Great that you guys pursue stuff like that. That is just,
it's wonderful. We do our part, and it's amazing, really, though, how many people appreciate it and how many people do their part, too. So
yeah.
we're seeing it more and more. So we this is part of us.
And if you do something like you have a business there and you do something, you promote it, then it catches on. And, you know, you play it forward and other people do, too, and it just spreads around, and that's really what we need. So that's
right,
great.
Well, right after they did the planting, we had some customers stop by, and whenever they saw it and they saw the plant, they went back home, and our girl from Bock Tower called us and said that a guy had stopped in to us, saw what we were doing, called them and offered his land. He had like 4,000 acres that they were more than welcome to go and plant some on his property if they wanted to.
Wow.
So, and that was all just from, you know, seeing what we're doing here.
Wow.
Like you say, we're playing it forward.
Yes, and that's great. That's really what it needs to be done. That's fantastic. So, Mike, any other questions for Lenore?
No, I'm good. I'm just tweeting stuff about the show.
Yeah.
So.
fascinating.
We're talking about. Yep,
Lenore, if there's nothing else, give us all the information about Bunker Hill Vineyard and Winery, where you're located, and contact numbers, and Facebooks, and Twitter page, and everything, you know, LinkedIn, and all that stuff. Any way people can get a hold of you. Also, the hours of operation, and, you know, the days you're open, and all that stuff, because I am sure people would be interested in coming out and doing a ghost and orb walk, and so give us all the facts and stuff.
And the complimentary wine tastings, definitely.
And
okay.
Absolutely.
That's
okay,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, we are just We're Bunker Hill Vineyard and Winery, and we're located at 8905 Bunker Hill Road in Duet, Florida, 34219. Our phone number is 941-776-0418. Website is www.bunkerhillvineyard.com. Our email is bunkerhillvine@aol.com. And if you just Google in Bunker Hill Vineyard Facebook, we'll just pop right up there. We have our Facebook. We're not on Twitter at this time. That's about pretty much where we're located. We're located east of northeast Manatee County. If you take if you're coming I-75, you would take exit 229 off and go over to 301 into Parrish and pick up 62. State Road 62 is what we're off of. If you go east on State Road 62, about 14 and a half miles, you will see our Bunker Hill sign with the grapes, the universal sign for a winery, and you just turn, go 1 mile, and there we are. We are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. with complimentary wine tasting and tours every single day. But we are closed Christmas and Thanksgiving, those 2 days out of the year. But the rest of the time we are open, and if you need directions, you're more than welcome to call us. We are at the phone all the time. And on our website, on the contact page, where it has directions, we have good directions on there. We also have the GPS coordinates, because sometimes when you put our address in the GPS, it says we do not exist. I know, definitely. But I'll tell you how we got our GPS coordinates. They do, I'm sure a lot of you out there have heard of geocaching. So we had some geocachers by here, and they put one on our property, and we actually got the GPS coordinates from them.
Uh-huh.
We were able to put it on our website, so you can get those coordinates to punch right into GPS, and it will lead you here. They are cool.
We have a geocache next to the winery out here at before the Stage Winery, and I never thought about asking them and putting the GPS coordinates on there. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the geocachers love winery. They go get their geocache, and then they come and they taste the wines, and then they just leave out and taste the wine and the geocache.
And I get a lot of them come in doing that, too. That's, you know, so that's,
right.
That's great. But
well,
I never thought about putting
them.
The coordinates on there.
Ask them what the coordinates are, and they will tell you, because right on their printout it shows the coordinates, and then you can take those coordinates and put it on your website, and then if someone has one that they can feed the coordinates in, they can put it right on there, and then they'll never have. I mean, it was so bad, one day I actually had OnStar call me at the winery, and I answered the phone, and she said, "This is OnStar." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You know, OnStar, the GPS." I said, "Okay." She says, "I have some people in Orlando that want to come to your winery, but I can't find you." So I literally had to give OnStar the directions, so they could put it into their GPS system.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, actually, the people found us after OnStar gave them my directions to get here.
Oh, fantastic.
That's
all
good.
Right. Well, Lenore, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. It was fantastic. Great stories. People, you all need to go up there and do yourself a ghost walk. That just sounds like, if you're not a believer, that could sway you right there. And
right.
Best
they
of luck to
believe.
You. I will come down and visit you. There's no question about that. You know, like I say, it's just a day trip. So I will come down, introduce myself, meet you guys, and, you know, well, soon. There's no reason not to.
We would love to see you, Ron, and you, Mike, and I appreciate everything. And thank you for thinking of me.
Thank
this
you.
This has been wonderful.
No, thank
well,
you
thank
very
you.
Much for your time.
Thank you for coming out here.
Happy
All right,
evening.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, very
All
cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do a quick shout-out to Wine Map on Twitter for retweeting one of our tweets about Bunker Hill Winery. Thank you for doing that. I just got an email from Twitter, and I put sand dunes on property help endangered Chrysopsis floridana, the plant, and they retweeted that. So I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool. So thank
good
you,
for them.
Wine Map on Twitter. So thank you very much for doing that, and glad to have you
following, liking us, whatever. No, like is on Facebook, follow is on Twitter. Okay, I get those two mixed up. But, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun going out there. So
it does, yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, a lot of paranormal activity there. This, you know, it's and like she said, you don't have to do it in October here. It's active year-round there. So if anybody's out there listening and you come to Florida, you're going to have to be sure after you stop by and visit Florida Estates Winery, about an hour and a half down the road is Bunker Hill. There you go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, very good. Very good stop. Okay, very cool. So let me draw the line here for next week's show is do you have any other announcements or anything? I know we're getting over at the top of the hour. We're past the top of the hour. Did we already we didn't say goodbye to the AFRN people, Armed Forces Radio Network. Sorry about that.
They're streaming on. We should if it's not overtime for them, but, you know.
Yeah. We should come up with something that, you know, like near the top of the hour, just give them a spot. And then, because I know they're in the intro and they're in the exit, the outro, you know, the show ending type thing. But probably at the top of the hour, we probably need to run something just to, you know, say thank you for listening. But we're on Blog Talk Radio.
acknowledge them and it's cool. Don't know how many listeners are out there. Maybe something – AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network, if you're listening to this and you're like different parts of the world, give us a call and let us know you listen to us. So
yeah, definitely. That's cool. Yeah. Go back up here. Yeah, so there you go. And I guess we'll go ahead and, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and close this week's show. We will be back next week. We already have a guest, and I already have the show plugged into Blog Talk Radio, so that has already been scheduled. So October 24th, you definitely want to be here. It's going to be definitely a spooky good time with Joy of Joys, Joy of Wine. There you go. Very popular, internationally known wine blog, and she's a fantastic guest. We've had her on before, and really enjoyable. And she also has an interest in cemeteries, and she has a cemetery blog. I believe it's a grave interest, and which I'm interested in as well. So,
have you read the newest one? That's an interesting new one here.
No, I didn't. Oh, I'm gonna get over.
Yeah, just came out a couple of days ago. It's good. It's the one on cemetery. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
have to check that out. Yeah, it's kind of strange to see people walking through a cemetery, but there is a reason sometimes, and maybe sometimes there isn't. But it's very peaceful. But anyway. I have gotten some looks before. It's okay. That's fine. You know, move along and keep walking, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, it'll be a good discussion. That'll be October the 24th next week at 7 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S., and you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great show. And don't forget, you can always email the show at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You have comments, suggestions, questions. Maybe you want to be a future guest or, you know, what your thoughts are on tonight's program or any of the other programs you're listening to, definitely contact us and let us know what kind of feedback, you know, we'd love to hear feedback. So do that. And, you know, join us, you know, if you're...
I got an email from David. So David, Dave out there, Dave's been to the winery, listens to the program. He was commenting on the cost of the program we did where is a $10 wine... our $100 wine 10 times better than a $10 wine. He made a
That's
few
right.
comments on
That's
it
right.
and all that. So thanks, Dave, for the comments. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you stop by the winery.
Okay. Very cool. Is it anything that's readable at this time, or you want to save it for the next one? I don't know if it was, if you had it handy or you just noticed it was there. We could probably do it next time.
Yeah, let's do it next time.
Okay.
I don't have it up. I've just remembered you said, you know, email us and contact us, and I just remember that David did did get a hold of me and said wrong one. So
we'll bring it up next time. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll bring it up next time. But email us anytime. Love to hear from you.
Yep. So we will see you all. You don't have any events going on, I don't believe. I didn't check the email. I don't see anything.
Not this
there.
Weekend. Actually, right down the street this weekend in a little small town called San Antonio, Florida, is having their Rattlesnake Festival. quite an event. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning with, or 7:30 in the morning with a 5K run, and it goes on all day long. They've got all sorts of activities, vendors, and you know, rattlesnake shows or snake shows. They've got musicians. They got bands.
I've been to that. It's very fun. It's very different. Even if you don't like snakes, it's very interesting to see them do the show because they have rattlesnakes. They do, yeah. Well, one almost got it into the stands, but that's cool. I've never seen.
But he caught it.
I've never
he
seen the. He did. He did. Oh, that was very, very cool. But I've never seen a group sitting in the front row move as fast as. As I did that day when we're sitting there watching them, and they're doing this display, and, you know, it can pop a balloon, and all of a sudden this thing just takes off. We're like, uh-oh, it's time to, you know, head for higher ground. But, yeah, he got them. It was really cool, and I got some great pictures from that. I think they're up. Yeah, I think I've got the pictures up on my gallery, but it was really, really cool to see that. But that was just one moment. It was, whoo.
And the thing is about the Rattlesnake Festival, and we're not, you know, I mean, yeah, we are promoting it because it's a local thing.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to 10 o'clock at night. They have bands and everything. And all proceeds, this is being put on by the area Rotary Clubs, and all proceeds mm-hmm. go to help local charities and stuff like that. So it's all for a good cause and a great event. And they have Jack Russell Terrier races, and they have all sorts of things going on. So. If you're in the area, it's only Saturday, and you can stop by the winery before you go or as you're coming home and visit with us and all that. We're only about, you know, maybe 10 minutes away from the Rattlesnake Festival. So,
yeah, not far at all. Yeah, it's great. Not far. Great. But, I didn't realize it went that late. That's a wow.
They're doing a lot of bands and stuff in the evening. They're doing concerts and different things in the evening now. Since the Rotary took it over, they start out with the 5K, and then they have the events all day long, and then toward the evening they start doing these bands and concerts. Now, they have food vendors and all sorts of things there for you. So,
yeah.
Cool event. If you're down around here, happens every October, this weekend, or this Saturday, actually, the Rattlesnake Festival.
Yeah, it sounds great. Sounds like a good time. So
it is.
Very cool. Okay. Well, I guess we'll see everybody back here on October 24th with Joy of Wine, and I think it is a Grave Interest. I have to check that out again. I'm pretty sure that was what it was. She'll be on live, and you'll be able to talk to her, and we'll talk about all kinds of stuff, cool stuff. So for this particular season, join us. Yes, join us next week, and we'll see y'all. That'll be cool. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll go ahead and play our ending show thing, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.